Hey, if you have your Bibles, go with me to Matthew chapter 9. We're going to be kicking off this one prayer series. And kind of the big idea here is we're talking about, you know, if you could pray one prayer, just one prayer that we knew that Jesus would answer, what would that prayer be? And there's obviously, you know, so many prayers that come to your mind about, Lord, make us one. God, make us powerful. You know, make us unshakable. And so many things. And I want to kick the series off. And I want to talk to you about an actual prayer that Jesus asked us to pray. In other words, we're going to take a look at this passage of Scripture here in Matthew chapter 9, and Jesus is going to give us one prayer, definitely, that we need to pray. And this is actually the second time in the Gospels that he tells believers how to pray or something that they need to pray for. And obviously the first time was over in Matthew chapter 6, where he kind of gives us the basic outline of the Our Father. It's a lot about our relationship with God and doing God, and God's will being performed in our lives. But this is a really targeted prayer about the church. In other words, this really fits the one prayer. If we could pray one prayer, not for ourselves, but for the church, Jesus shows us right here at least what he wants us to pray for. And then he gives us some other examples in the Scriptures as well. But we're going to pick it up here in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. But just to give you a little bit of background, in Jesus' ministry right now, I mean, man, he is rolling. He is out there. He is preaching. He's going from town to town. He's going from city to city. He's preaching the gospel. He's healing people. He's helping people. It's like a real busy, busy time in Jesus' ministry. And in verse 35, it says here in chapter 9, it says, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. Come on, aren't you glad that the kingdom of God is all about good news? It's all about good news. I want to let you know that you are going to hear good news here today at Celebration Church. And everything about God, everything about the kingdom of God, it is good news for us. Any correction or instruction or challenge that comes from the Scriptures, guess what? It's because God loves us. It's because God wants to help us. It's because God wants to encourage us. He goes on, he says, so he's preaching the good news about the kingdom, and he healed every kind of disease and illness. Man, we serve a God who heals. And can I just give you, I know you probably heard about this last weekend, but we had an incredible healing testimony happen here at Celebration Church over the past couple of weeks. Our middle school pastors, Josh and Becca Turner, their little baby girl, baby Riley, she had been diagnosed with a terminally ill disease just a few months back when she was born. A couple of weeks after she was born, the doctors diagnosed her. They said, she's probably not going to live beyond a year. This is terminally ill. I can't remember something, scoliosis with, or some kind of thing with the spine. And man, we prayed and we believed God here. And did you know that just a couple of weeks ago that they took her to the doctor and the doctor said she's healed, she's fine, she got a clean bill of health. Isn't that awesome? Awesome, man. Just awesome. And I want to encourage you, you know, a lot of people, you know, we believe God for healing and a lot of people get healed, but you know, a lot of people don't. And no matter whether people get healed or not, you know what? God's still good. And he still loves you, and he's still a good God. And what really matters is the life hereafter and living for the life, the eternal life and the life to come. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. But look at Jesus, okay? So Jesus has this moment here now in verse 36. So he's preaching. You see, he's real busy. He's preaching. He's healing people. And you can kind of, let me just kind of bring you into the situation here if you were kind of visualize it. And all of a sudden, Jesus kind of looks around at the crowds. And by this time in Jesus' ministry, I mean, he's got huge crowds. He's got thousands and thousands and thousands of people following him around that he's speaking and ministering to. And he sees the crowds, and the Bible says he has compassion on them, because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his fields. So here's what's going on. Jesus has been very, very busy. He looks out and he just has this view of this sea of people, this large crowd, and he just kind of gets overwhelmed. And really, for the first time, he really brings his disciples in, and he gives them this picture. He says, guys, look at all these people. Now, it wasn't that the people weren't getting saved. It wasn't that the people weren't following him. They were. They were there. They were in the crowds. But how many of you know God cares about people? He wants to help them. He wants to meet their needs. And it's one thing for a person to receive Christ, make a decision for Christ. It's another thing for that person to actually be, if we could call, harvested into the kingdom of God. And not only receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but come in and get plugged in and find out God's purpose for their lives and be healed and be whole. Can I have a good amen to that? Are you following me? So he has compassion. People are confused, and they're not being cared for like he wants them cared for, and he knows they're going to slip through the cracks and things like that. And he calls his disciples together. He says, guys, look, man, the harvest is great. In other words, here's the good news. Jesus is saying this. There is not a problem with the harvest. Gang, there is not a problem with the harvest in Jacksonville. There are droves of people that want God, that want a relationship with God. I can tell you from traveling around the world, there is not a problem with the harvest. The harvest is great. We don't need to pray for a bigger harvest. We don't need to pray for a better harvest. Are you following me here? Jesus says, look, the harvest is great. The people are out there. And here's the solution. There's not a problem with the harvest. The problem is with the workers. There's not enough people that are working or serving, so to speak, where these people are getting cared for and really brought into the kingdom of God. In other words, Jesus is saying, look, the harvest is there, the harvest is great, but the harvest is never going to be what I want it to be, guys, unless you come along. I can't do it myself anymore, Jesus is saying. You've got to come along. You've got to care for people. You've got to go out there. You've got to be my hands and be my feet. And see, this is a prophetic message for the church. This is why God has commissioned us. It's called the Great Commission. Jesus is our chief shepherd, but guess what? We are the laborers in the harvest field. And there's a great harvest out there. We've seen Celebration Church in 10 years, it's about our 10-year birthday, grow from 7 people to over 7,000 people with thousands of decisions for Christ. There's not a problem with the harvest. But you know what the challenge always is? Is enough workers, enough people serving in the local church that can take care of the precious people that God loves. And I don't understand it all. I can't explain it all, but I'll tell you this. If you look at Celebration Church, I'm not talking about the number of people that make decisions for Christ, but when we talk about the number of people that come in and attend and get plugged in and all that kind of stuff, there's a direct correlation between how many people are serving, people that are workers in the harvest field. There's a direct correlation to that and how many people are getting plugged in and attending in the body of Christ, specifically here in this local church. Are you following me? Watch this. There's not a problem with the harvest. The harvest doesn't need to be bigger. The harvest doesn't need to be better. Jesus says there's one solution. There's always going to be this challenge. He says there's one solution. There has to be more people serving. So he gives them this. He says, look, we're going to pray. We're going to pray to the Lord that God send more workers into his harvest field. Now, I want you to think about that. You're like, well, why do I have to ask God? Yes, we talk about this all the time. Okay? Yes, there is an element to the sovereignty of God, but do you understand we are his hands and we are his feet? That's why when we come to God, here's the relational component. We draw near to God and we pray. God doesn't respond just to need. He responds to faith. He meets our needs through faith. So we come to God and we say, God, we ask you for this or we ask you for that. And that's how God begins to work his will in the earth. We have a part to play. God does not bypass the local church. He works through the local church. So here's what happens. So Jesus says, look, we're going to pray and we're going to ask God to send work. Let me just define a worker in the field. You understand, Jacksonville is our field. If you live here, now this is our main field, and we have other fields around the world, globally or so forth, and this is our field. And the way that you can be a worker in the field, a worker is just a servant. And this is the beauty of the local church. Listen, you do not have to move and go over to Zimbabwe If you want to do that, that's great. We can help you do that immediately. But you don't have to do that to be a worker in God's harvest field. This is the beauty of the local church. God set up the local church with so many different places that you can serve. You can park cars. You can be guest services. You can work the media. You can be in youth. You can be in children's. The administration team, so many different places that you can serve. And you can make a difference right here, right now, for eternity, by just taking a simple position of serving in your local church. Whatever that local church is, and for most of you, it's Celebration Church. Isn't that awesome? I talk to people all the time. It's like, man, I want to reach the nations for God. Okay, that's great. But how about, you know, why don't we start with, you know, being an usher? Now, I want to, you know what I'm saying? I want to do all these great things. Do you see how God works? Faithful in the little, faithful in much. You can make a difference. And here's the thing. You might be thinking, well, Stovall, man, Celebration Church has thousands and thousands of people. How can I make it? If you don't take your place of serving here at Celebration Church, then the harvest is not going to be as great as it could be. It's a direct correlation. Here's what Jesus is saying. He's basically saying, look, you guys are going to have to go out there. You're going to have to get more people to serve. If we have this many people serving, working the harvest field, the harvest is going to be like this. If we have more people serving, it's going to be like this. If we have more people serving, it's going to be like this. There's a direct correlation, gang. And I'm asking you to invest your life in God's kingdom in a simple way and be a laborer in God's harvest field. Are you following me? Think about this. Think about this. We think about, you know, God's the answer to our prayer, and God, we want you to answer our prayers, and we pray to God, and God's the answer, and all that's true. But have you ever thought about this? What if you could be the answer to Jesus' prayer? There's a prayer that Jesus is saying to pray here. Do you realize you could be the, you could answer Jesus' prayer today? You could answer his prayer today if you said, yes, Lord, I want to make a difference. I will be a laborer in the harvest field. I will serve in guest services. I'll get on the worship team if you know how to sing and if you can play an instrument. I will. I can be an usher. I can learn how to do cameras. I can serve in children's ministry. I can serve in youth ministry. I can go on an outreach. I can go on a mission trip. Whatever that thing is, look, you can make a difference right here and now. And I'm telling you, when you stand before God, what you want to hear is, well done, good and faithful servant. God's given us time. He's given us energy. He's entrusted us with things. Listen to me, you can do it. Well, Stovall, I'm too busy. Listen, man, we are all busy, dude. Stovall, I'm too stressed out. We're all stressed out, man. We're stressed out. We're busy. We're tired. We're 40, 50, 60, 70 hours a week. We got kids. We got screaming babies everywhere. We're working two jobs, man. This is the world that we live in. Everybody's tired. Do you know that the world, the entire world, is ruled by tired people? That's good. Tired people run the world. And that's why it's so important. Look, you're always going to be too busy. You're always going to have a lot going on. Sooner or later, you're going to have to make the decision, you know, I'm going to put God first. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything that you need will be added unto you. I'm going to put God first. Maybe you travel a lot, whatever, with your job. Look, once a month you can serve here, or twice a month you can serve there. You can do it. You can make a difference. You could be the answer to Jesus' prayer. More people serving in the harvest. Watch this. Go to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. I want to bring out this aspect of God that you see a lot especially in the New Testament, we talk about, you know, God is love and God is holy, and there's all these characteristics and attributes of God. But another attribute of God is a grower. Everybody say God is a grower. He's a grower. And what that means is, yes, God loves us no matter what, and God accepts us, and we receive Christ, and we're on our way to heaven. But there's another aspect about God, another attribute about God, that God wants results. He's a grower. This is why Jesus, when he's looking around, this is why Jesus didn't say, man, the harvest is great, but, you know, oh, well, let's just have a Coke and a bag of chips. Why? Jesus wants his kingdom to grow. He wants his kingdom to be effective. He wants us to be effective. So what you see in the New Testament, you see several parables and passages of Scripture about things like fruitfulness, where Jesus says, you know, every branch in me is going to bear fruit. He says, is going to bear fruit. Okay? And in fact, what I'll do, when it bears fruit, I'll even come along and I'll prune it so it can grow more, so it can bear more fruit. In other words, God wants us to produce. He wants us to be effective. You'll see lots of parables like this one where God's talking about, he might say, you know, the owner of a house went away and left his servants in charge of it. And then he comes back and he's going to ask him, you know, how did you manage? What did you do with my house? You find times where, you know, the owner of a field goes away and he comes back and he wants to inspect his garden and see what's grown and so forth. You'll see parables like the owner comes back to a field and he asks, he's like, man, all these trees are growing up really nice. What's wrong with this one? Why isn't this one bearing fruit? And the guy's like, well, you know, just give me 3 more years. I'll dig around it. I'll fertilize it, all that kind of stuff. And God said, okay, that's it. 3 years, and then after that, you're going to pluck it up. You're going to take it out. You're going to put a different plant there. You follow me? Why? Because God wants results. He wants us to produce, okay? Here's another parable of that. Look, Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. 25:14, it says, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. That's Jesus. He called his servants. That's you. He called his servants and entrusted money to them while he was gone. Now watch, Jesus is going to talk about money here, but I want you to think of the bigger principle. This is not just talking about money. This is talking about the principle of stewardship, our energy, our time, our talents, our giftings. And it includes money, but it's talking about the principle here of how we invest our lives, okay? And he goes on to say, he says, he entrusted money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one. Who's my 5 bags? Tark, come on up. Give Tark a big hand, everybody. Now, Tark, go get your 5 bags, your 5 talents, your 5 people. Bring them on up. I know that Tark can be entrusted with 5 because he, suffered with me on my long trip. And we're grateful that his therapy's ending soon. Look, it says, and then to one he gave 2 bags of silver. Where's the, my girl has 2. Okay, go get your 2 talents, 2 people. Okay, and then to one guy he gave 1. Okay, Ray, go get your 1. All right, here we go. Now, we're going to do the paraphrase version. Are you ready? This is in Matthew 25, verse 14 through 30. So here's what God says. He basically says, look, I'm going on a long trip. Each of you have an ability. Look, you've got 5. You've got 2. Okay, you've got 1. I'm going to go on a long trip. Now watch. I'm coming back. How many of you know we're going to stand before God one day? We're all as believers. This is not for sin. This is not a heaven and hell issue. We receive Christ. We're on our way to heaven. But we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And God is going to inspect. And we're going to have to give an account for what we've done with our lives. He understands that not everyone has the same ability. He understands that we're all at different places and different stages in life. But we need to put God first. And in some way, shape, or form, gang, we have to invest our lives in the very purpose and mission of the church and in Jesus' life. And that is to seek and save the lost. And the harvest is great. And if we can step up and serve in a simple way, we can make a difference in the harvest. How many people get saved and how many people plug into the kingdom of God? And I'm telling you, most of the testimonies here, many of your testimonies here at Celebration Church, when you come in, you don't just respond to God, you know, and commit your life to Christ just because of the preaching. Some of you are like, well, that's obvious. There's got to be something else going on around here other than you. There is. Guess what? You. And your gifts, and your talents. Mostly when their testimony goes something like this, man, I drove in, I'm telling you, right off the bat, when I turned in the parking lot, I just felt something because I saw all these guys parking cars with a smile on their face, sweating in the 90-degree heat, but I can tell they were concerned and they wanted to. Can you give our parking guys a big, big hand? Listen, man. Men, let me speak to you. I have your summer workout program, dude. It is called Parking Ministry. Body, mind, and spirit. You serve God, man. You wear your t-shirt. You work out. You sweat. You can get a great workout on Sunday morning, and you can get soul saved in the process. I got your whole fitness package right here at church. But they pull in and then they come in and they're greeted by people in gift services that help them find their way. Many of them, they might have a child they've never dropped off in a children's ministry. That can be a big thing for some parents. And they come in and the children's ministry people help them and their child finally feels comfortable somewhere. And they come in and they're helped with a seat and all those things. And even things that we don't even think about. You know, like on the worship, all these things, you realize someone is running those cameras. Wave to the camera. People. Okay. They're running your experience is a whole lot of what goes on that screen. Are you following? They've got to run a camera and hold the worship experience, the lighting, the sound, all these different things that go on the service. All of these add up to someone having a non-distracting experience with the Almighty God. See, one plants, one waters, but it's God who gives the increase. And then, of course, it's the Word of God that gives us our salvation, talking about the eternal Word and receiving Jesus. But it's all of us working together to bring that person to that point. Can I have a good amen? It's not just me. You have a reward. Jesus says, you give a glass of cold water in my name, you will certainly not lose your reward. We all make a difference in the harvest. And if you're not serving, the harvest at Celebration Church will not be as great as it could have been, as God wants it to be. You follow me? Jesus says, there's not a problem with the harvest. There's one solution. We need more people to serve. That's it. He'll send the people. You could be the answer to Jesus' prayer. So here's what happens. Back over. So here we go. So one day Jesus, he says, I'm going to come back and expect. I'm going to inspect and see what you've done. And so this guy knows, watch, this guy knows God. He knows God is a grower. He knows the kingdom needs to expand. He knows that God loves people and wants to bring more people into the kingdom. So what does he do? He takes his five, and the Bible says he goes and gets five more. Okay, go get five more. And then this girl knows the same thing. And so she takes her two and goes and gets two. Yeah, two more. Why? They understand God's a good God. They care about what Jesus cares about. They understand if they don't do it, the harvest isn't going to be as good as God wants it to be. You follow me? But this guy, okay, you don't want to be on the side with these people. You want to be over here. But this guy, he didn't understand this concept that God wants fruit, God wants results, God is a grower. So he takes his talent and he buries him. He buries him under the ground. All right. He buries him. And the Bible says this. In other words, this guy, watch this. He just wanted to play it safe. See, he did not understand the character and nature of God, that God is a good God, but God's a grower. Okay? So here comes. God comes back to inspect. Comes over. Tark, man, you already got tons of rewards because you had to travel with Stovall but 16 days. But I also see that you took your five talents and you got five more. Listen to what God said. God says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been a good steward over this. I'm going to give you more stuff. You're going to be blessed. Awesome job. Then he comes over to the girl. He says, hey, look, I gave you two talents. Notice, she had two, he had five, each according to our ability. Different stages of life, different giftings, different talents, all that kind of stuff. But everybody has something, and in some way, that they can invest in the local church. So he says, hey, look, I gave you two talents. You got two more. Same. He says the exact same thing to her as he said to him. He says, great job, well done, good and faithful servant. You're going to be blessed. You've been faithful over this. I'm going to give you more. Awesome. Then he comes to this guy. Man, I mean, they had five. She had two. You only had one. And he comes to this guy and he says, man, show me what you've done. And this guy says, look, he says, I buried my talent. Here it is. And he goes on to say, instead of knowing God's a good God and that God's a grower and understand, he goes on to say, he says, you know, I knew you were a hard man. You know, I knew that this, here's what people think about serving. They think it's going to be difficult. They think that, you know, they're too busy. I knew this was hard, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He didn't understand the goodness of God. He didn't understand that his blessing was dependent on him putting God first in his life. Here's what he thought. He made a mistake. He didn't think God was a grower. He thought it was going to be okay. He thought he was being faithful by just not losing his talent. But God says that a life not invested is a life wasted. A life not invested is a life wasted. Not that God doesn't love you, but you made no growth. You made no impact in helping the kingdom. So what this guy thought was faithful, God called it wicked. And he says, look, I'm taking, this is how important growth is to God. God says, I'm taking this talent. Come on, we're going to put you with someone good. He said, come on over here. He said, I'm going to take you over here. And it's this important to me. I'm going to give this talent to the guy that already has 10. That's why the Bible says, to he who has, he'll be given more and he'll have an abundance. This is about stewardship, gang. When you put God first, when you serve, when you give, all these kind of things, blessings come to you. God's looking for someone he can trust. And you got to go. It doesn't end good for this guy. You can read about that in verses 29 and 30. We're very sorry. Can you give all of our volunteers a big, big hand? All right, you guys can. Serving leads to maturity. The first step, when Jesus talks about, we talk about being a fully devoted follower of Christ, when we talk about being a disciple, discipleship means a lot of different things to a lot of people. The first step to maturity is serving, is taking your position along with Jesus, saying, Jesus, I want to be the answer to your prayer. I see that the harvest is great, and if by me serving in some way, shape, or form in my local church, if that can make a difference, and it can, I want to be part of that. Listen, you want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with what I've given you. I'm going to give you more. Are you following me? A lot of people think discipleship, oh, it's about a class, it's about this, and we got to learn this. And that's part of it, and that's very, very important. The Word of God is our foundation, and we have to have understanding. It's very, very important. But I'm telling you, there is something about serving. Because Jesus said, whoever wants me to be great among you must be a servant of all. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. When you serve, you identify with Christ in a way. And something happens that you take on the nature of Christ, and there is a maturity that comes in your life that you could never know from a class that you could never know from a certain doctrine. It comes from experiencing the precious privilege that we have to be like Jesus in a small way and to serve others right here in our harvest field and make a greater impact for the kingdom of God. Will you be the answer to Jesus' prayer? Will you serve? That's right, you knew it was coming. The serving sign up card. Ushers, lock the doors. Take these out for just a few minutes. These are in your sermon note packet. That's right, this message is ending on high pressure. Some of you are like, "Saul, man, this is a little bit too high pressure for me." Yes, it is high pressure. How many of you know something? How many know heaven and hell's high pressure? You want high pressure? You want high pressure? How are you going to feel at the judgment seat of Christ? I mean, you know, the judgment seat of Christ is going to be a little bit high pressure. I am helping you out. I'm telling you, some of you, just like you started to give or you started to serve, you are going to stand before God. You're going to see that you took those talents he gave you. You made more. You made a difference in his kingdom. And I'm telling you, I'm going to be right there in the corner being like, "I told you so. You better thank me." No. I'm kidding. Guess what? I'm just a steward. I'm just the coach. Jesus is my shepherd. And I'm just trying to be under him and help you come along and be the answer to his prayer. Let me show you this real quick. Right here, what we have, this is a way that you can sign up to serve. All we need is your name and your phone number and email and the campus you attend. So obviously it's Midtown for all of you. Below that, there are two options for this campus, okay, that you can come this Wednesday night. I'm going to be here. Wednesday night service is going to be short. And right after that service, for about half an hour, we're going to have training. And no matter what you sign up for, guest services, children's ministry, there's just some basic training. Okay, I know what some of you are thinking right now. You're like, "Stovall, I'm not even saved yet." Listen, that's okay. Just come. We'll get you saved at the training. All right, don't worry about that. Some of you, whatever, you're on drugs or you got problems, whatever the deal is, look, God can clean all that up. Don't think you have to have your life together. That's not what Christianity is all about, man. Christianity is come as you are. Come as you are, plug in, got to work out all that other stuff. You know what I'm saying? Okay? So watch, there's you have two options. You can either come to the training on Wednesday night, okay, just half an hour right after service. We'll have a short service. Or this coming Saturday night, once again, right after that service, for about a half hour, we're going to have training there. You can get trained right there. If you can make one of those sessions, remember, it's an option. It's not both of them. You just choose one, either Wednesday night or Saturday night for training. You can check that right there, okay? On the back, these are the ongoing serving teams that you have. Some of you might know, you know, that you want to guest services. You feel good at that, or parking, or the media. You know, there's children, there's students, community impact, administrative team, campus support, creative. I mean, there's so many things on here. And you might say, you know, "I don't know, maybe three of these." Just check what you're interested in. If you just have no idea, you don't have to check any. The important thing is we're just trying to get you options and get you started. But sign this right now. I'm believing, you know what? Here's what I'm believing. I'm believing that every single person in Celebration Church that's not serving is going to sign up and serve on a team. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the harvest? Can you imagine what if we all, everyone in the annex as well, that's right, you're not escaping. Ushers, lock the doors in the annex. What if, just, we're having fun, but just what if, can you imagine the harvest? If Jesus said that the only reason there's not more harvest is because there's not enough people serving, what if those of us that are not serving, we all signed up to serve somewhere? Can you imagine the harvest that we would see over the next 6 months? It would be unbelievable. it will be phenomenal, and you can be the answer to Jesus' prayer. There's going to be, well, the ushers are barring the doors. I was really kind of kidding, but I like it. I like the effort there. Okay, great. Awesome. On your way out today, the ushers will be there, and you can drop these in the baskets as you leave. But let's pray right now.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.